Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Yes, yes, here we go. You are now rocking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. Appreciate you for tuning in. We got a loaded show today. We got Mike Wells, my ESPN NFL Nation teammate, covering the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get him on. Obviously, Run TMC will be another segment. Hey, man, after what Derrick Henry did, it's only right that we get back into the rushing attack and discuss that. And we'll spin it forward to this game against the Colts. If you haven't gotten an opportunity to check it out, make sure you watch Whiteboard Wednesday. It's only right that we discuss the Colts rushing defense going against this Titans offense that just Derrick Henry, man, he just continues to open it up. This game was really interesting, and it was something that I was really curious about for this Titans team. The thing that stood out to me and the thing that I wondered is, what will they do if they're down late in the game by two scores? How are they going to approach that? And for me, it showed that Todd Downing really is looking to keep this very similar to what Arthur Smith did, and that's run the football. And it's very rare for teams to run the football like that when they're down two scores in the fourth quarter. But that's exactly where the Titans found themselves. And it's just amazing to me how they go to that and they're able to shift the momentum. This team lives and dies with Derrick Henry. If he's not running the football like that, it's going to be tough for them to win. That's really what it boils down to. So when you're able to get him going and continuously pound into that opposing team, eventually it pops. And you saw it pop. A.J. Brown blocked down. Henry cut back off of it. He hit the sideline, and he does what he does, right? Deuces, a long touchdown, a house call. And I'm telling you, David, that darn stadium at that point,
yeah,
it got real quiet.
Oh, wow.
It got really quiet.
It's hard to keep those guys quiet, 12, man.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, and that's exactly – see, that's the thing, and that's what makes the Titans such a really good road team. And I've used this phrase for them for a while, like the last 2 or 3 years, pack and play.
Yeah.
When you get Derrick Henry going and you can run the football like that, it's just crazy how running the football down a team's throat will really just – it's deflating to the guys on defense. It's deflating to the coaching staff.
Yep.
And it's deflating to the fans.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's something that really worked for them. And then they just kept, like I said, loading that wagon. I think when you look at Derrick Henry, I'm going to say this, and some people will think it's crazy because they'll go to the Jacksonville game when he had 223 or something like that. Mm-hmm. That game against the Seahawks was his best game as a pro, in my opinion. Because you're looking at an impact catch in the football. I asked Ryan Tannehill about that, and he kind of laughed and said, hey, well, you know, there were a couple screens, but
yeah,
it was a lot of times just checking it down. Mm-hmm. And that's how he got 6 catches, which was a career high. But then you mix it, and the reason why I'm saying best game is I'm talking about all around.
Yeah, yeah.
35 carries, that's nothing to scoff at.
Not at all.
On the 35 carries, he averaged over 5 yards a carry. That's legit.
It is.
You know what I mean? That is definitely legit. What was a 187, I think it was, on the day. 3 touchdowns. But the pass pro also.
Yes.
You had plays down the field where they were able to get the football to these receivers, and Jamal Adams, I mean, you know that he's going to be blitzing. You know he's a guy they like to attack with, and they looped him inside a few times. He came off the edge. Derrick Henry picked him up.
Yeah.
No problem. And those are the things that make me say, okay, this was the most complete performance because you had everything.
Mm-hmm.
You had pass pro. You had catching the football. You had awesome running the football. And just the way that they're able to just keep things going regardless of who's out there. Now, I'm not saying get Lawan out there. I'm not saying get Roger Saffold out of there. But it just is amazing to me how Aaron Brewer, Tyson Braylow, these guys come in, and it continues to be a stout rushing attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then the passing game, right? Now you saw some balance here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you look at Ryan Tannehill, the big question, right? The big question was, hey, can he and Julio Jones get on the same page? I think they showed that they can. And Tannehill continuously mentions the first throw where it was a little high, and Julio Jones went up and got it. It was on a third down, and that converted the third down. You look at the later throw. It was third and 18. It was a 15-yard completion. Julio ran, was able to square up, got the, and that gave them an opportunity to be in a fourth and short. You know, so you don't always on third and long, you don't always have to hit that home run, like get that first down. Sometimes when you know you're going for it, you could go ahead and get yourself in a more favorable situation to get the first down on fourth down. So the other throw, and this was a beauty. Tannehill did that play action. He knew exactly where he was going with the football. Launched a rocket. And the thing that I loved, and it was pretty cool because where I was sitting in the press box, it was right where Julio Jones was at the top of his route. So I saw him plant, and then the way that he dug down, like he kind of like looked down, not looked down, but like tucked his head and just dug. And I'm talking about Doug, and he went down and he caught that pass. That was a beautiful connection. Beautiful.
It was.
The one at the back of the end zone, right?
Yes. That was incredible that Julio just like went up there, grabbed it, and unluckily it didn't count, but it was an amazing catch. It should have counted, but it didn't. But it was an amazing catch to see him actually do that.
Donald Page, the team photographer, posted a picture.
Oh,
it is beautiful. Now, he posted multiple ones. The one that he posted showed the heel down. And I still, and that's why I asked Coach Rev, like, we don't know what it catches, man. Like, I don't understand because I thought, you know, you tap your toes. And you're in. But apparently if the heel comes down out of bounds, but what happens if your butt comes down out of bounds? Because, you know, so it's just. I guess it's just going to be a case-by-case thing that we'll continue to weave through and understand. But the picture that Donald Page posted that I wanted to talk about was one, it showed the catch itself.
Yes, I know exactly what you mean.
Right? And it was like, on the one hand, it was his index finger and his thumb. You know what I mean? And he trapped it with that. It's crazy.
It was so, like, it's so impressive to see like how these wide receivers can catch.
Yeah.
Like, you just, how much work they go into just trying to, like, improve all their
the technique and just the process.
Just trying to catch. It's incredible to see.
Yeah, and he did a great job catching that. So those are a couple positives. However, negatives on offense. A.J. Brown, his drops. The bad thing about that, he had a few. Now, that first one, that was a bad one. The one that he had on the sideline where it was kind of like a wheel route, like over the shoulder. That was a bad one. There were a few, in my opinion, that were concentration ones. But the thing that stuck out to me is he said that he allowed it to roll into the next opportunities. And you cannot do that, right? You can't let a positive or a negative roll into the next snap. You got to forget about it.
Exactly.
I think A.J. Brown is going to forget about that game and roll it forward. He and Xavier Rhodes, they always have pretty good matchups. So there's like something to that. I don't know. You know what it is, but those guys jaw a lot at each other, and I've seen it over the last two games. So I'm looking forward to watching that happen. But I think A.J. Brown has to turn this thing around, and he has to rebound, and this is an opportunity for him. Defensively, communication, that's the big issue. That's the big issue. And I'm not sure exactly why PFF put that touchdown by Freddie Swaim on Christian Fulton, because frankly don't know whose fault that is. You know what I mean? There was a miscommunication somewhere. The good thing is neither of them will say who, you know what I mean?
Neither one wants to say who it was.
So they're just, you know, they're going to chalk it up as a team mistake, and that's even what Byers said. But the fact of the matter is you can't have those slip-ups, right? You can't have both guys going to a route with a deep one open over top. You have to maintain your assignment and know where it is that you have to be. That's what happened on that one. Elijah Molden would like to see him play a little bit better. I'm not going to go to the extent to say that he's not ready to be on the field. I thoroughly think he's ready to be on the field. You are going to have rookie mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
These things are going to happen. So Obviously, you know, two of them have led to a touchdown, you know, so it has to get better. But I'm not here to hang Elijah Molden yet. I think he very much should still be in the mix. He should still be getting an opportunity to play football in the nickel and do what he does. It just doesn't stop all of a sudden. So that's something. Bradley McDougal, the big play, he's been released. That was zone. And, I mean, like, they were able to just, you know, load that side and get that matchup that they wanted. That was just, you know, that was scheme. It worked. And these are some of the things that happen sometimes. So it's just funny because you hear people saying, you know, hey, how did they allow McDougal to be man? No, it's not man. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just that guy comes into your zone and then it turns into man. Mm-hmm. But it's not initially where Coach Shane Bone was like, hey, Bradley McDougal, Tyler Lockett is your guy. That's not the situation. But either way, you can't allow these things to happen. The one thing that's good for this team is they're not going to have to worry about guys extending plays and doing all that stuff that they had to worry about the first 2 weeks. So that will help. The pass rush is beginning to get home. You saw Autry. You saw Simmons. That matchup, you know, up front. Autry's not a man of many words, but he did say he's looking forward to going against his former teammates that he played with for 3 years. Mm-hmm. David Long is a guy that I want to mention because I think that he's continuing to evolve and develop into a very good player. That dime package that they use with Long, with Dane Cruikshank, that kind of stabilized stuff in that game. You know, they were able to get things regulated. Cruikshank, in my opinion, is a good player. I really like seeing him as that dime backer. Mm-hmm. It's what he did at University of Arizona. So you're seeing just that kind of carry over from college. The main thing with Cruikshank, you got to be available, right? Yep. And as long as he's available, he's a legit player. So I think overall, this secondary, this linebacking group, the front, I think they're in decent shape. I'm not ready to crown them as like an outstanding defense yet, but I am ready to crown Christian Fulton as an outstanding defender.
I agree with that 100%. He locked down DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
It was incredible to see what, like, from first year to this year. It's incredible.
Right, the progression. The growth. Yeah. The
I'm
confidence.
A Christian Fulton guy anyways. Too.
Confidence, yeah, I'm with you on that. The confidence he's playing with, the comfort level he's playing with. Mm-hmm. I mean, 5 targets, 1 reception, under 10 yards. I mean,
it's impressive.
That's Jalen Ramsey type stuff, and I'm not putting him on that level. I'm just saying that's what you expect from Jalen Ramsey, not Christian Fulton. Mm-hmm. So definitely an outstanding opportunity for some of those guys to step up. This game against the Colts is going to be a slobber knocker, we know. So I think that's a pretty good wrap-up of this game. Now we're spinning forward to the Colts. We're going to go to a break, pay these bills. We'll be right back with Chris Sanders, Run TMC. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call, and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
What are we? Yeah. Hey, give me those guitars. Yes. Back from the break. You know what time it is. It is that time. Talking with TD. Run TMC. As the music fades, the lights dim, and that music comes on. And now, starting for your Seattle Supersonics. At Power Forward. Number 50, Michael Cage, Jerry Curl and all.
And now, his famous hit is All Night Long, Lionel Richie.
You know a funny story.
Afro and everything.
Well, you said All Night Long made me think of one of my fellow receivers, Fred Smith.
Okay, I don't know that dude.
No, of course you don't. We talk about D2. You know what I mean? Small scale football.
Yeah,
but this dude was a spitting image of Lionel Richie. Oh my God, oh, man!
No, he had the mustache and everything.
He had the mustache and everything. He just didn't have the fro, but he looked just like Lionel Richie, man.
That is hilarious, man. So, man, what's been going on with you, man? Let me ask, I got to ask you a question before we start the show.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of our show anyway? What's the name of it?
Run TMC.
Hey, so who balled out this weekend?
This is Derrick Henry, and you're talking with TD. We might as well jump right into it. I tell you what. I'm going to tell you what impressed me more than anything else. And this is a question that I've been wondering and wondering and wondering. I asked Todd Downing about it. I asked Mike Vrabel about it. Mm-hmm. Patience.
Patience, man.
They were down two scores, the fourth quarter.
Right.
With 13 minutes left to play.
Wow.
You know what they did? We're going to go shoot a shoe.
Yep.
And run this football. And that is old school football, old school approach to it, but it worked. And Derrick Henry got busy.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, man, is, you know, I think that the Tennessee Titans are finding their identity. Mm-hmm. You know, when they go away from doing different things, that's kind of when they mess up. Their identity is lining up in the personnel that's going to smash Matthew and hit you square in the face. That's just exactly what it is. And the thing about it is, the Seattle Seahawks knew it was coming.
Knew it was coming. Couldn't stop.
What can you do?
Couldn't stop.
The fight. That's all you can do.
Yeah, that's all really what. Hey, listen, man. Hey, that's what, you know, the guy's going to the sideline to the defensive coordinator, and he's.
Yeah.
You know what they said?
What did they say?
You can't win. It's suicide.
But no. Go ahead.
The thing that impressed me, though, is just the way it just kept wearing and wearing because initially, like, you look at his first six carries, he was hit at or behind the line of scrimmage five times.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it just started to just wear down. You had Michael Pruitt, you know, driving Jamal Adams to the ground. You had David Quesenberry getting himself a pancake.
Yeah.
And Quesenberry quietly is playing pretty good football. Now, I'm not going to say Pro Bowl level, but, I mean, he's starter level, and that's been impressive. Luan, you know, he has his situation. He went out, and Aaron Brewer came in at left guard, along with Ty Sembrello playing left tackle. I just thought it was really remarkable how they just kept wearing and wearing and wearing. And then A.J. Brown, right? You know what I mean? You got to shout out A.J. Brown because, you know, receivers, we have to contribute in the running game too. And he had that block, and that sprung Henry for the touchdown.
Yeah, but you know what I'm so impressed about? And this is a token to their coaching because you have backups that are playing and they didn't miss a step.
Yeah.
I mean, when you talk about developing players and making sure guys are ready, and it just shows you, like Brewer and Quisenberry, they've been paying attention in the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they've been paying attention in the meetings is because you see their play. I mean, that's what it is. Because if you're second and third string, you're really not paying attention. Some guys are not paying attention, but this just shows you the quality of character guys that are on this team. Guys are saying, you know what, even though I'm not the actual starter, but when I get in, we're not going to skip a beat. So that's a token to Mike Vrabel, Jay Robb, and O-line coach Ryan Crow.
Absolutely. And let's talk about just the – I just thought – I mean, this guy gets to the second level, and it's just – it's amazing to me how, you know, the angles are just destroyed. Right. And when a DB does have a chance, he gets stiff-armed. And I just this guy is a legit finisher, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And just you know, I agree with you 110%. But this is what I'm more impressed with is we don't talk about his vision.
Mm.
This dude's got vision, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did you see the 9-yard run?
Yes.
And then the 60-yard run, he made a cut. Let's go. His vision has improved so much. And you got to take token to Tony Dews by doing all those drills, those little funny drills that we see, and like, oh, that's cute. Oh, that's so nice. But those are drills that he's developing to make him a better player. And the thing that I love about him also is Derrick Henry's not satisfied.
He
got 2,000 yards last year. He's been balling the last 3 years, but he's not satisfied until he gets that ring. And you can tell by the way he runs. And then another thing we're not talking about, his pass block.
Yes, that's where I was going to go.
And then another thing we're not talking about is he's catching the rock.
Yep.
So he's becoming a complete back. Now, let me backtrack a little bit. He's not going to be running choice routes. He's not going to be running cold routes. Yeah, he caught some hitches and he caught a screen, but he's catching the ball and he's making plays.
I asked Ryan Tannehill about that. You know, I was like, hey, man, look, like six catches, that's a career high. We saw him, you know, doing some different things. Is this something that you could kind of spin it forward and maybe get him more involved in the passing game? And he smiled. He was like, well, and I knew two of them were screens, but, I mean, right. You know, I'm going to let him go ahead and account for that. He was like, well, you know, two of those were screens, and then we had a couple where, you know, the defense was sinking and they were covering up the deep routes, so he just took what was given to him, the check downs, and that's what they did on that last drive, honestly.
Absolutely.
You know, so – It was there, and you mentioned Tony Dews, and that's really what you saw Henry do, just as far as like those check down and stuff. He literally does that up and down the field during special teams, period. So you're seeing the stuff transfer over. The pass pro part of it, I mean, they focus on that during individual period. You know, they have the big weight ball, and they throw that at the guys, and they got to come up, and they got to meet that weight ball, you know, and push it down. And you're just seeing the things, and that's something that I love about this staff. Because, I mean, you understand, right? You're out there practicing. You don't want your time to be wasted. So the stuff that they're doing out there, it rolls over to game day, and that's critical.
Yeah, and we always talk about practice makes perfect. We just saw a perfect picture of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you practice the little things, you're doing the bag drills, you're doing all these funny-looking drills, but it's relaying to the football field, and that's exactly what you want. You know, I was listening to the radio the other day, and Jared was talking about, you know, Derrick Henry, can he take this team to the Super Bowl? And I'm going to tell you why I say yes. And I'm not saying he can do it on his own, but the reason why I say yes is because he makes everybody around him better. When he made that 60-yard run, did you see the energy of the defense?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the energy of the special teams? Did you see the energy just absolutely change? So that's how you make things better. I'm not saying he can win a Super Bowl on his own. Absolutely can. But when you make a 60-yard run and you make a 9-yard run, and you're running through somebody's face, and you're giving somebody a stiff arm, and that energizes the defense, and that energizes the special teams, you just made your team better by doing the little things and sparking the play to make something happen.
Yeah, any time he has a long run, you just look at the sideline, and they're all going bonkers. And, you know, that's something Darren Bates, you know, I would love to still see him on the team just for his reactions because they're always crazy. But we talk about long runs. We talk about what Derrick Henry has done. Let's look at this one because the Colts defense. Now, granted, they're allowing .120 on the road. I mean, on the ground these first two games. They're going to be on the road. Obviously, the Titans are going to want to run the football, get Derrick Henry going, and get that crowd behind him and everything else. Before this year, Matt Eberflus, he came with Frank Wright, took over the defense for 3 years. They only gave up 100 yards rushing 3 times. None other than Derrick Henry had all 3 of them. So when you look at this Colts defense, for you, what stands out as far as their ability to attack the run?
Yeah, I just think their front. I mean, their front is really, really good. I mean, you got Buckner that's in the middle, and then you got a fast linebacker, Leonard. So this is a fast defense, a physical defense. And the thing about it is they're going to put everybody in the box to stop Henry. I mean, what else do you have? I mean, you're going to have to bring a safety down. You're going to have to put different guys in the box, and you're going to have to really hit him in the backfield before he gets started. So on the flip side, even though they're putting 175 people in the box, this is where Julio Jones comes in.
Mm-hmm.
This is where A.J. Brown comes in. This is where Chester Rogers comes in. These are where these guys can make the plays. This is where these guys are making the big bucks because I guarantee you they're going to get man-to-man coverage on the outside because I guarantee you the defensive coordinator is not going to let Henry beat him this time.
Yeah, I mean, this is the guy that has been your kryptonite. In fact, I'm writing about it this week, and I'm calling Derrick Henry Debo. You know, he comes on the bike, and you hear the squeaking, and you got to put your chains away, you know, and just hope that he doesn't snatch anything. That's really what it boils down to. But when you look at their safeties, that's the thing that's for me. Yeah, obviously, Leonard, you know, you're right. He's a guy. That guy flies to the football. Right. He's all over the place. Bobby Okereke, I think that's how you pronounce his name. Number 54 is an outstanding player as well. But for me, those safeties. We talk about Derrick Henry being a finisher. Well, Kari Willis, right? Yep. Julian Blackman, these guys are finishers. They tackle. They bring the back down. And Willis a lot of times will drop down in the box. In fact, that's what I drew up for Whiteboard Wednesday, just 8 guys in the box. And just how, if it's executed perfectly, that's an instant home run for Derrick Henry. And I think that's something else we need to get into, just Henry's ability to hit a home run against loaded boxes and how much that goes to the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you got Brewer, you got Saffold, you got Davis, you got Sambilo, I can't pronounce his name right, but then you're going against Quidipe, Buckner, Muhammad. I mean, it's going to be physical, man. I mean, these are guys that want to impose your will. These are guys who want to be physical, and then they're going to bring the safety down to be even more physical. But I think what the Indianapolis Colts are going to try to do is I think they're going to take away those A and B gaps so he doesn't have to cut back. So to make him go side to side, kind of like what we saw against Arizona, they're going to probably use that blueprint to stop him, because if Henry gets going and he's one-on-one with the safeties,
yeah,
it's suicide. I mean, that's exactly what it is. Because, you know, just imagine, okay, you're playing safety, right? And Henry's coming at you. You got little bitty shoulder pads on. You got a one-bar face mask. What you think going to happen?
That's getting driven to the ground.
You can't win!
That's it. I mean, that's what you got to tell him. You can't win. The other thing, though, for me, in looking at that, you got Kari Blossom game, who, by the way, he's up to, like, in the 250s now.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? You got him leading the way, blowing stuff up. So there could be, you know, with these guys trying to stack the gaps, I mean, I would love to see that collision, right? Kari Blossom game and Owukurike or Darius Leonard. That's a good collision waiting to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all going to come down, just like kind of what we're talking about, is the line of scrimmage. Who's going to control the line of scrimmage? Because, I mean, that's on both sides. I mean, offense, defense, whoever controls the line of scrimmage is going to win. And I'm not trying to change gears, but, I mean, look at the Indianapolis Colts offense. You got Quentin Nelson, who's a dog. You got, on the other side, on the Tennessee Titans defense, you got Jeffrey Simmons. Because in 2019, Jeffrey Simmons got the best of him. But in 2020, Quentin Nelson got the best of Jeffrey Simmons. Now it's 2021. Something's got to give, boss.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful matchup. You know, it's great when you have a primetime matchup, a premier matchup right there in the trenches. But that's what you have. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor, they're going to run the football.
Absolutely.
They're going, this game, this mess around be like an hour and 40 minutes, man.
Are you nervous a little bit?
I think this is a very winnable game for them.
Okay.
And for me, it's the quarterback play that makes it that way, regardless of who's out there. You know, if Jacob Eason is out there, then, hey, you know what? I think it's going to be time to get some interceptions. Let's see these guys add to the turnovers. But I gather that you're somewhat cautious. I get it. It's a division game, so you always need to keep that in mind.
I just think that they're kind of in a position that we were in last week. Everybody's bad-mouthing. Everybody's saying you're terrible quarterback. Everybody's saying you can't play defense. All these things, and they're hearing this. They're 0-2. They're desperate for a win. So that's the only thing that I'm concerned about. And I think if the Tennessee Titans start fast, hit them in the mouth, you know, give a big dose of Henry, you know, go over the top on Julio Jones or Brown, and take the wind out of them, I think they'll quit.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. You got to punch them. Give them those body blows early, man. Just like Mike Tyson's punch out. Body blow. Body blow. That's what it boils down to, man.
Absolutely.
So what, you expressed some concern. What's your score prediction?
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans 24, and I say the Indianapolis Colts 17.
24-17.
It's going to
okay.
be closer than what we think. I think it's going to be. I know the quarterback play, what you're talking about with the Indianapolis Colts, understand that. But I think they're not going to put the ball in his hands for him to try to win it. They're going to try to run the ball and keep the Tennessee Titans offense off the field. I mean, what else can you do? But also, we're forgetting about, they got some good-looking receivers now. They got Pittman that had 100-something yards last week. So he's capable of making a big play. So if they sneak up and try to go man-to-man with him and bring the safety down, then they're going to go over top because he's a bigger body. We have shorter corners.
Well, I'm not going to forget about the Titan killer himself, too, and that's Nyheim Hines.
Doyle. Gimme.
Doyle too, but Nyheim Hines, man, he gives them work too. So we'll see what happens. Our last thing before we get out of here, I asked AJ Brown about the game that he had, and he said that he kind of let it domino, where that first drop kind of spilled over into the other ones. The first drop, like, you never excuse a drop. You know what I mean? The safety was bearing down on him. You still got to make the catch because you're going to get hit regardless. But I think that's kind of what it was, where he was a little concerned about. He didn't say it. I'm saying for me, I think he was a little concerned about contact and tried to gather it a little bit differently, and that happened. But spiraling it to the next reps, what do you make of that comment?
You know what? AJ Brown's going to be okay. I mean, when's the last time we saw him drop multiple balls? I mean, that just doesn't happen. Now, if it consistently happens, then now you got to deal with it. But as a receiver, you need to have, you know, amnesia and forget about it. And the way you get amnesia is on Monday, catch the jug machine.
Right.
Tuesday, give it to your quarterback and catch the ball. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, keep catching the jug machine to get that confidence, because he said something that was so profound is, I let it spiral out of control. And what that means is, I'm a little nervous of catching the ball. But once he catches that one pass in the game, all that stuff is not going to matter, because he's going to gain his confidence back.
You can't think about catching the football. It just has to happen.
You can't alligator arm that thing. You get torched.
Yeah, there was a little Ricky Waters going on there. But, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, Chris, man, I appreciate you.
Always, man.
We'll keep this thing moving next week. New York Jets, Corey Davis. You didn't want to see him go, so we're going to have to get some feedback on that.
Absolutely, my man.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. We're recording this on a Wednesday, so you know what I'm saying. We got a little bit of woo going. Woo Wednesday, man. You know, you got the series coming out, so I just had to stay in line with that. And it's not just Woo Wednesday. It's Wells Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to bring in my guy, ESPN NFL Nation coach reporter, Mike Wells. Mike, what's good, man?
Oh, man. WW Wednesday right now. Triple W Wednesday, it looks like.
Triple W.
Wednesday we rolling with. Yes.
WWW all the way around. You know, that's how we do it. So speaking of W's, that's something that the team that you cover, they seem to be starving for at 0-2. They're coming into Nissan Stadium on Sunday desperately in need of that W. What are you expecting just overall from this team?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is it's going to be who's going to be quarterback in the Colts right now. If it's Carson Wentz, the Tennessee Titans are going to get a Carson Wentz that is not 100% healthy, dealing with two sprained ankles suffered in the second half of their week 2 loss against the Rams. If it's not Wentz, it's going to be second-year quarterback Jacob Eason, who, in my opinion, he didn't look great in training camp. I mean, he had to fight off sixth-round pick Sam Ehlinger in training camp to get the first-team snaps. And anybody who watched the University of Texas, you know, can acknowledge that Ehlinger is a very good athlete but does not have a strong arm. But he hung in the mix with Eason. So this is a bad combination for the Colts. And they could have an injured starting quarterback, an inexperienced rookie starting, and facing a team, in my opinion, is the top dog in the AFC South still, especially after going on the road last week and coming from behind to beat the Seattle Seahawks, a team that I don't think gets enough respect around the NFL, and the Titans.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. That game was a battle. And in that second half, especially late in that game, you know, Derrick Henry was able to quiet that crowd. And that's what the rushing attack does. So, obviously, you know, Jonathan Taylor, he's the ultimate neutralizer. What can they expect out of Taylor at Nissan Stadium this week?
I mean, Taylor is a go-to guy out of the backfield for the Colts. You know, the thing that's been interesting so far in the first 2 weeks is Taylor ran behind one of the top offensive lines in the NFL last season. This season, this old line has not been good at all. I know they face a Seattle defense that's pretty talented. And I know they face Aaron Donald and company in week 2. But this team has made its name by being tough in the trenches up front over the last couple of years. But they're not playing good football up front. Carson Wentz has been sacked 6 times, hit an additional 21 other times. The running game hasn't been able to get going the way they envisioned. And I think the best bet to beat the Tennessee Titans is to keep Derrick Henry on the sideline holding his helmet and his arm like it's a football, and having Ryan Tannehill and company saying, man, when can we get back on the field? Because the Colts are running it down our throats. That's their best bet to be able to beat the Tennessee Titans this weekend.
So you're expecting a heavy dose of Jonathan Taylor, and you can't forget the Titan killer, man, Nyheim Hines as well.
Oh yeah. You know what you call him? He's like the gadget bat, the utility guy, because he can play. He can line up at running back. He can also line up at wide. And if he's matched up on a linebacker trying to keep up with him,
yeah,
it's over. It's a wrap. Nyheim Hines is going to win that battle, because some people may not remember Nyheim Hines started out as a wide receiver at NC State and then switched to running back late in his career. So he knows how to line up out wide. And you know Frank Reich from your days back in Philadelphia with him. He'll sit there and try to scheme up, and he'll see where the advantages are at, and they'll go right at the Titans in that area.
What's going on with Paris Campbell? We're talking to Mike Wells, ESPN, NFL Nation, Colts reporter. Mike, what's going on with Paris Campbell? I mean, 3 targets, 1 reception, 24-yarder against the Seahawks, but haven't seen anything else from him. What's his deal?
Well, hey, unfortunately, Campbell can't stay healthy. That's been his knock. At Ohio State, he was like, okay, this is a guy, a perfect NFL-type slot right receiver. But, you know, going into this season, he had played a total of, if I'm not mistaken, 12 games in his first 2 years in the NFL. Then he suffers, you know, an abdominal injury late last week and misses week 2. So, of course, everybody's saying, oh, here we go again. Paris Campbell dealing with injuries. And so he's got to get out on the field. T.Y. Hilton's dealing, you know, still working his way back from a disc injury. So the Colts are very limited when it comes to the wide receiver spot.
And I laugh because I'm looking at the injury report. It says ankles, plural, for Carson Wentz. That's just terrible. And then limited participation for Paris Campbell. You got Zach Pascal didn't practice, an illness. Let's flip it over to the defense and look at a couple things there. I know Bobby Okereke is a guy that he draws a lot of praise from you. What type of role does he play in that run defense?
Well, Okereke, he slid from the outside to the middle linebacker spot after the Colts decided not to re-sign Anthony Walker during the offseason.
Okay.
Everybody knew Okereke was better suited to play in the middle, at middle linebacker. And so he's I call him a junior version of Darius Leonard. He's fast, aggressive. He's a little light on the backside, so you know he's not exactly the biggest guy, but he plays so physical, which works so well in Matt Eberflus's defensive scheme. So he's a smart player. I mean, you talk about a guy who was able to play at Stanford and get into Stanford and everything. So he is very aggressive. He will have no fear, and if he sees Derrick Henry trying to get through a lane, Okereke will come up and try to go toe-to-toe with him. I'm not saying Okereke's going to be able to take him down by himself because, let's be real, we know Derrick Henry's the premier running back in the NFL. So it'll be tough, but Okereke's not going to back down from the challenge of Derrick Henry if he sees him coming through a lane.
And when you look at guys like Okereke, Darius Leonard, then Julian Blackman, who I think he's a really good safety. He's vastly underrated. And Kari Willis, such a reliable tackler. How much goes into just, you know, that mindset? Like, these guys just fly around. Is that something when you're in training camp, do you see them just kind of taking that on as their persona, like doing each and every day?
That is the thing, T. And, you know, they've had a couple of joint practices over the last couple of years. One with Cleveland a couple of years ago, and then one with Carolina this year. And both of those teams said one of the reasons why they wanted to go against the Colts in a joint practice is because of how aggressive they are. How they play through the whistle, and they try to strip the ball from you and knock it out your hands because they want to force turnovers. And you mentioned Julian Blackman. I think he's a guy, he's an up-and-coming free safety in the NFL.
Yeah.
When we talked to him this week, we were talking about Derrick Henry and trying to gang tackle him and not playing scared. The best thing he said was, you can't worry about showing up on ESPN because he puts a stiff arm in your head. You gotta if you go in with that mindset of saying, I don't want to be a highlight reel because Derrick Henry's gonna give me a 2-piece and a biscuit when he runs by you, you've already been beaten. He goes, basically, you gotta say, hey, you gotta chop that hand down and try to get after him, and then as you're chopping that hand down, you better expect your teammates to come in and gang tackle him because not very many people can take Derrick Henry down one-on-one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, you didn't tell me that Danico Autry was a man of so many words, man. I once you get him started talking, he doesn't stop. Now, I'm joking when I say that. Like, this dude does not talk at all. I don't know how he was there, but here he doesn't talk at all. But what are they doing to make up for the loss of Autry?
Well, I got to tell you, Autry was great to talk to when you weren't talking about football with him. If you want to talk about, you know, what it was like when he was playing with the Raiders in Oakland and hanging out and stuff like that, it's all good. But talking football, Autry's one of those guys the same way he is on the football field. He is he's one of those quiet guys. But then when you look at the stat sheet, you're like, man, three quarterback hits, two sacks. Man, where did that come from with Nico Archie? But that's how he rolls. So give him some time, T. I'm sure you talk about some soul food, some hot chicken or whatever and stuff. He'll get rolling in that area. But back to your question on what they've done to replace him, they're still trying to figure that out. I mean, yes, DeForest Buckner is doing his thing in the middle, but they're struggling on the edge with the pass rush. Pretty paid a rookie out of Michigan. He's going to get there, but he's making that transition of trying to play with force at Michigan to playing with speed here with the Colts in his rookie season. So he's going to get there. But as far as getting to the quarterback, it's going to be tough. I'm curious on what's going to happen, when I'm not even saying if. I'm saying when Derrick Henry gets rolling, and then all of a sudden Ryan Tannehill hides the ball on his hip on a play-action play, and all of a sudden A.J. Brown or Julio Jones are wide open down the field because the Colts fell for the banana in the tailpipe and thought Derrick Henry had the football, and they don't have no pressure on Tannehill.
Yeah, and that's something. That play-action gets you max protection, and it slows the linebackers down so it all works. Xavier Rhodes, though, you mentioned A.J. Brown. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the last couple of games that I've seen, there's been just extensive back and forth between those two.
Oh, man, you know what? It's interesting. I don't recall the last two games. Xavier Rhodes hasn't even played this season yet. He hasn't played yet for the Colts. He's been dealing with the calf injury. So we may not see another battle of Xavier Rhodes and A.J. Brown this weekend. And that is tough because Tyler Lockett gave the Colts the business in week one. DK Metcalf gave him some work. And then Cooper Kupp, you would have thought Cooper Kupp was going to the Hall of Fame after he played the Colts in week two. So if Xavier Rhodes if he misses his third straight game, Derrick Henry may only need to run 12 times for $150 because Ryan Tannehill is going to be able to throw for $350 through the air.
If that happens, so what, does Kenny Moore bump outside and T.J. Carey becomes the nickel, or what do they do there?
No, Kenny Moore stays at the nickel. T.J. Carey plays on the outside, and I'm going to tell you now, Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, they're going to be doing rock, paper, scissors to say, hey, I want to line up opposite of T.J. Carey because I'm going to have the field day against Carey up there.
So overall, you're expecting this because we write it up. So I'm not going to ask for your score, but you're expecting this to be a pretty convincing win for the Titans. You don't think with it being a division game that it'll be close?
Nah, hey, I'm rolling with the Titans. The Colts just haven't looked good, even with Carson Wentz out there. They have not looked good in the first 2 weeks. And I know people will say, well, they were right there against the L.A. Rams in week two. Well, the L.A. Rams looked like a team that had never run a punt. He had never done a punt before. They gave an easy touchdown to the Colts on one of the plays because the guy, it hit the center hiked the ball and hit one of his teammates and it fell in the end zone. So, the Colts, they just haven't been impressed. And I'm going to continue to say this. We'll be talking. I'm sure we'll probably talk again in a couple of weeks when Tennessee comes to Indianapolis. People do not respect the Titans, in my opinion. They don't respect Mike Vrabel. I think Mike Vrabel is one heck of a football coach, and at some point they're going to put some respect on the name of the Tennessee Titans, and I think the Titans are going to carry over what they did in their comeback against Seattle and give the Colts some work this weekend. So, yes, I'm going with the Titans. Colts fall to 0-3 for just the third time since 1998.
Well, we will see what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the great Mike Wells, ESPN NFL Nation Colts reporter. Mike, I appreciate you. We'll definitely link up when you come out here.
All right, T, my brother. You be good, man.
For sure. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is the show. Man, shout out to Mike Wells coming on. Excellent analysis, excellent input in regards to the Indianapolis Colts. He feels it's going to be a blowout. We'll see what happens. You have to go to ESPN.com to check out the scores that we predict. So make sure you check that out. There's also a post on Derrick Henry going against this Colts defense. Make sure you check that out. That will be on ESPN.com on the Titans page. 3 consecutive 100-yard games against the Colts. Let's see if he's going for the fourth one. I called him Debo in this post, so make sure you check that one out. Shout out to Elijah Campbell. Shout out to David for making this happen. We had to bring in the lefty, and he came in and did the thing, everything we needed. Chris Sanders, appreciate Chris coming on. Enjoy the game this week. Folks, you see me at the game, hey, man, stop and holler, man. I appreciate the support that you guys give. Never, ever a hassle to say what's up, man. So make sure you do that, man. Much love to each and every one of you for tuning in. God bless and good night.